sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Labanor. In the door, in the front door. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on December 11th, 2024. Today's episode is also rated R and rated F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. You heard it. All right, before I continue, I need to acknowledge the most important people in the world right now for me today, and that's all you listeners. Shout out to y'all. Give it up for yourselves. Clap, goddammit. Clap for yourselves. And within that same group of listeners, I want to acknowledge all you new first-time listeners, man. Clap for yourselves. I don't give a fuck where you are. Clap for yourselves. You deserve it. Now, you know, some of you may have clicked on this podcast by mistake, but you're still welcome. You're still welcome. And I'm giving you shots, props, shots, shout outs, props, and salutation. Yay! Okay, just a quick reminder that our website is shutuppodcast.com, email address shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. In today's episode titled 228, supporter of Chesimar. After I get through my quotes, after I go through my randomness, I will be talking about, I'm not going to call it a book report, but a book review, not book review. It's going to be like, what do you call those things? My brain is not functioning. It's a common word. It's a book club between me and Common, the rapper Common. About Asada Shakur, the autobiography. Okay, look, really, all I'm going to do is celebrate the fact that I finished the book. That's really what it's all about. Okay, all right. Okay, so like I said, let's start with quotes. Let me look at the time. Okay, looking at my Gucci, it's about that time. Okay, first quote goes, a wise man once said, be careful who you let on your ship, because some people will sink the whole ship just because they can't be the captain. I'm going to dedicate that one to the Andrew Schultz of the world. Yeah. No, actually, I'm going to dedicate it to the black people. And, yeah. Careful who you let in. It's so apropos. Second quote goes, mistakes are a fact of life. It is a response. It is the response to the error that counts. Nikki Giovanni. Now, I purposely chose this quote and this author because I need to acknowledge R.I.P. Nikki Giovanni, born June 7th, 1943, and died, recently passed away on December 9th, 2024. Yeah, man. Shout out to everyone on my timeline who's like been sharing quotes or sharing a thoughts about her. Yeah, I just knew I was this powerful poet that all my favorite poet reference Holly talked about. Yes. Rest in peace, Nikki Giovanni. And is this the last quote? Yeah, last quote goes, no one is going to give you the education you need to overthrow them. Nobody's going to teach you your true history. Teach you your true heroes. If they know that knowledge will help set you free. Oh my God, did I really fuck that up? One more time. No one is going to give you the education you need to overthrow them. Nobody's going to teach you your history, teach you your true heroes, if they know that knowledge will help set you free. Assata Shakur. Okay, that's it for quotes. Now, let's do some randomness. Okay, now I'm very conscious on the time, and I'm going to focus on the fact that I really want to talk about what I read in the book. But okay, so let's do this, right? on one end, I don't want to ramble on, but on the other end, it's my goddamn podcast. It's the only time I allow myself to take up space in this world. But okay, let's go. Let's do this. All right, first thing I have. Yeah, I've been noticing that maybe on the last episode, I probably apologized. I said, I don't have any news in my randomness section. And it hit me that ever since the election, I've been less interested in politics. Well, it's not politics, but more interested in seeing headlines related to Trump or the United States or politics, whatever. Yeah, I've been, I just noticed that. Like, since joining Blue Sky, I've been following, other libtards, fellow liberals, and then people's, NASA, anything related to astronomy, and other people's pets. I just hit me. Anyway, all this to say that there's going to be a bit of news in this one. Quick news. I'm not going to give you, I'm not CNN. Fuck that. I'm just going to talk about shit, headlines that I've seen, and then, I make, some jokes about it or commentary. But, yeah. Okay. First one is, I go, okay, hold on. Let me pause. It's got to suck being the last person in charge. I mean, okay, this come out right. The last person in charge of a dynasty. It's got, look, man, I'm saying, so if you've been paying attention, let me get this motherfucker's name, the Assad regime and in Syria. So Syria's been, if you've been following the news, Syria's like that civil war has come to an end. The government backed down like bitches. I can talk shit. Shout out to our military. That allowed me to talk shit online. Yeah. The Assad regime. Okay, let me get the name of... Okay, Bashar al-Assad. Oh, my God. Al-Assad. Now, this ex-eye doctor and then dictator, ended up in the family business of being a dictator. Yeah, okay, this is a bit, gang. This is a bit. All right, man. All I'm saying is I wonder what his therapist is telling him. Because homie was in charge. He had one job to do. Maintain the lineage. Keep stay in charge. And then these goddamn rebels start showing up, acting up. And next thing you know, he's got to go up to Russia to free himself. To seek political asylum. Okay, here's where I'm getting at is I used to be a... okay, I want to be clear. I'm not feeling bad for Bashar al-Assad. He should have stayed, should have been a cop. Fuck hip-hop. I mean, he should have been an eye doctor. Fuck being a dictator. Yeah, but the highly sensitive... Okay, like, I'm the kind of person, the empathetic person, sometimes I'll empathize with assholes. They don't deserve it, but fuck it. For the sake of comedy, I'm going to do it. And I was thinking of the time I used to be an executive for a Toastmaster club. And it was a well-run club. And then one of the founders like was trying to retire and left, and she like put it into my hand. Okay. Again, it was a popular club, world renowned, and under my leadership, the club goes to the crown. Okay. I'm being mean to myself, but really this is what happened is this was around 2020. We were getting close to lockdown. Things were going down. Numbers were diminishing. The attendance were lower. And it got so bad. The people who were volunteering to be on the executive were like, just didn't have time to work on to be part of the club. Didn't have as much time as they used to. So we had to close the club. So I was the guy who signed the paper to say, okay, we're terminating the club and all that, yada, yada, okay. But with that said, I can't help feeling that, shit, did I do that? Is it my fault? Now, the lady who put me in charge, she would be like, come on, take it easy on yourself, whatever. But, you know, I like to beat up on myself. Anyway, yeah, so all I'm saying is, Mr. Bouchard, like, I feel shitty for that. I don't know how this asshole must feel. It's like, fuck. This guy was surrounded. I'm sure what happened. He went from being an eye doctor to because his brother got capped by the rebels. Is that what happened? Whatever. He ended up inheriting the family business, and he fucked it up. I mean, he must feel like shit. I bet he can't get it up anymore. He's trying to fuck his wife. Or maybe he's like, yes, I don't like it. I hated this job. But, I mean, he was there for a long time, but he fucked up the family business. But yeah, man. Well, shout out to the people of Syria. As one person who's a descendant of, I'm hoping things brighten up. I mean, it's kind of scary because the rebel won, and usually, traditionally, what happens after the rebels win is there's infighting. But you know, who knows? Maybe you'll luck out like the United States did. Who knows? We'll see. Yeah, after the Civil War, granted, they fucked over black people. But whatever, who knows, man? Oh, no, wait. After the Civil War, the rebels didn't win. The government won. All right, yeah. Anyways, again, I'm going to possibly make this into a bit. Okay, now that I've shared some personal stories about one of my failures, what else do I have? Oh, man. Okay, so indie news is... So, favorite rapper on my top five list, Jay-Z, was accused of raping a 13-year-old girl, and he claims he didn't do it. He came out fighting. He put out a press release and saying like, "Yo," and focused it on the lawyer who's is he prosecuting him or is that the other way? Whatever. And he said, yo, but basically ambulance chase. I know what you're trying to do. But here's my only point to this, right? Is I don't know Jay-Z personally. All I can do is hope this shit ain't real. As much as I can tell you, he doesn't seem like the type. I don't know the man. All I can do again is hope this shit ain't true. And I'm not trying to be an asshole about this. I mean, this is what happens when, this is what happens to, I would have said this to about any celebrity. And, but it does say a thing about, being falsely accused of something as heinous as rape and how, yo, after that happens, you can't come back from that. You're no longer the same person as you were before, which is why I'm kind of surprised that the men out there who've ever been falsely accused of rape don't find solidarity with rape victims. Instead, they turn bitter and they're like, yeah, I don't trust them hoes anymore and shit like that. I'm just saying... Yeah, no, it's fucked up. I would hate to be in Jay-Z's shoes, no matter how many billion dollars he has. But yeah, homie's not coming back from this shit. And I'm saying this because regardless of the outcome, whether he's free, whether he beats the case or whatever, there's no, I mean, how do you, there's always going to be that doubt. There's going to be always going to be like, did he win just because he had a lot of money? But yeah. Anyways, I'm going to go back to what I said. I don't know enough about him. All I know is I'm hoping it's true. It's not true. It's like I want to say I'm rooting for you, assuming you're innocent. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. But I want to be clear. I say this about celebrities because I don't know him personally. There are people, if he was a friend and I knew him very well, then yeah, I would take him at his word. I would trust him. I mean, yeah, that's or based on the character that I know. But yeah. Yeah, man. If it's not true, that fucking lawyer who's attacked all this to make money out of this, yeah, that's, I'm not saying you're as bad as the rapist, but I'm saying throw them in the same prison and let the rapist do them. Yeah, and whatever, yeah. All right. Next. His name is Luigi Mangione. Mangione. I hope I pronounced that right. Luigi Mangione. Okay, so I just finished listening to the podcast episode by the New York Times Daily Podcast. It's called The Daily Podcast. And it's titled The Manhunt, The Manifesto, and The Murder Charge. And first, I want to apologize. When I said on the last episode, when I rapped the song, Who Shot You? I wasn't serious. I did not want to know who shot the CEO of Health, whatever there. Brian, what's his face? Nah. I'm actually trying to make fun of the fact that nigga got shot. But I'm just saying. Anyway, so they found the guy who shot him, and his name is Luigi Mangione. Now, when I said his name is Luigi Mangione, I'm saying the same way that they said it in Fight Club. He's a name worth, well, I mean, he's not dead, but he's a legend in my eyes. An angelic hero? Oh, wait, hold on a second. I forgot the, oh, right, okay. I'm going for my notes. I was confused by my notes. Yeah, first I want to say, fuck McDonald's. It's bad enough I was boycotting McDonald's. I mean, it was enough. I was already boycotting McDonald's because of their position against Palestine. Now, fucking McDonald's hires snitches. Fuck that. I'm boycotting it for life. I don't give a fuck if you bring back the McRibs or the double McRibs. Shit. I'm done. Burn it down. Apparently the dude who snitched on Luigi Mangione, some motherfucker working at McDonald's. Yeah, man. So yeah, working at McDonald's, and he recognized him and he called 911. The good news is he's not gonna get that reward because you were supposed to call the tip line, but you wanted to be a good citizen. Yeah, I'm again. Look, I'm with the people. I'm with the side of the people who've been sharing their horror stories about dealing with the healthcare insurance company in the United States, and these assholes are cruel. And I'm sure they tell themselves, "Nope, can't have any feelings in this business. Can't give a fuck." And the point I was making, I am not shedding a single tear for a homie who got killed. Because he ain't no, I just saw this headline. I just read about, links are in the show notes. It goes in the positivity subreddit. It goes, an angelic hero in human form. Fact book. It goes, a science teacher from rural Kenya who gives most of his salary to support poor pupils has won a million dollar prize for the world's best teacher. Wow. See, it's people like that who, if something happens to them, deserves like all our sympathy. And whatever, man. Whatever, whatever. Anyway, as for Luigi Mangione, yo, they read his manifesto. Homie did not sound, he does not look, he just sounds like a man who was like pushed to the edge. It's like enough is enough. Someone had shared a link to his manifesto and commented about how come the media's not talking about this. And I read that shit and I'm like, I can't wait to speak about this to my therapist. Because it's more to the idea of, I remember going into therapy, like I already had this conversation with my therapist about this. It's like, wait, am I just going to therapy to pacify me for the bullshit world? Like, this world is fucked up. And am I in therapy to adapt to the fact that this world is fucked? I remember the first time I went into therapy for the second time. I want to be clear, for the second time. And I was like in a rut. And I remember going in. I can't remember if I even said hi to the lady, to my therapist. I just, all this thing that was in just came out in one shot. And she was like, uh-huh. And then at the end, it was like, okay, now, basically the impression I got, dude, ain't shit changing. We're just gonna help you cope with this shit. I hated that idea. I didn't like the idea that. I hated the idea of I kind of want to go 7:30, like Luigi. Enough is enough. But granted, I live in Canada. We have more complicated gun laws. It's a hassle filling out. Like, I'm not even gonna Google what does it take to get a rifle. It's too much work. Too much fucking work. Anyway. But I am saying, kidding aside, I am saying, and it's not just the fact that I'm a highly sensitive person, but I am saying the state of the world can take a toll on a human being. When you actually look at things for how they are, the things we've normalized, the things we accepted, dismissed, it's like, it's just a genocide. It's just people dying in another world. Oh, the new iPhone's out. Yeah, sure. Some kid died probably making this phone, but whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like you got to numb yourself to exist in this world. Some people are like, sometimes I envy the people who can like, fuck it. Niggas die every day, B. Sometimes I envy them. I wish I could be that. Not care. Turn that shit off. Anyway, all this to say that, dude, I am not mad at. If you read that manifesto, you're going to be like, I kind of see his point. And I get it. The shout out to you people who believe in the institution of the law and all that shit. Like, I get you're going to be like, hey, crime is a crime. Murder is a murder. I get it. Maybe I should be grateful that people like you exist. But fuck, I'm on the other side going, fuck, cursing you out. Fuck this system. Again, like I said, I made my own self laugh. I just reminded myself, and this is why I've been avoiding the news, because I'm in this state again. I'm upset again. Anyway, all right. Oh, I'm looking at the time. Okay. All right. Okay. Shit. Shout out to Luigi Mangione for making me talk this much. Okay, next item. Someone on Thread posted a clip, but not a clip, a picture. Valid question. It just came on my timeline, and it's an image of a black woman, and she's got a flag, a scarf, a mouchoir in front of her face. And she's holding a sign saying, why is ending racism a debate? You know, I tell you what, Shut Up Podcast, 401@gmail.com. Why do you believe ending racism is a debate? And of course, that question is like, fuck it, I could easily answer that one. I said, and my answer was, and I stick by it, and shout out to the white people who are upset by this answer. I said, because white people don't believe in their abilities to survive without it. It was my way of saying, it was a better way of, it was my way of saying, why the fuck, white people have no incentive to get rid of racism. The white people who do have an incentive to end racism don't see themselves as white people. They see themselves as human beings. They see themselves as part of the human family. But the white people who bought into the fact that I'm white, I'm the best thing to happen to humanity. I'm part of the people who fucking Greek, Roman empires, fucking Columbus. We own this shit. We put these niggas in check. Yeah, those people. With the illusion, they tell themselves that the ones who are like, who like to act, who like to present the image that, no, racism is bad, but deep down inside. Anyways, I'm going to shout out the people who responded to my, because white people don't believe in their abilities to survive without it. And I'm going to shout out, I'm going to do you a fact. I was going to respond, but I'm like, you know what? I was going to block them. I'm like, instead, I'm going to shut them out on the podcast and shut them out for being so goddamn predictable, uncreative, unimaginable. Thank you for saying everything that I knew you were going to say. Thank you for also making my point. White people have no reason to look at the problem and seeing it for what it is. And black people, we're crazy to think we'll be able to overcome, beat, fight, defeat racism, solve the problem of racism by looking at the problem through the eyes of the people who get a fucking benefit from it, who get a fact check from it. But yeah, I'm going to write, oh, did I not hit like? Okay, sorry. Okay, yeah. So here's I'm gonna read some of the predictable responses I got. First one is, no, we don't believe in the okay, this one's funny. He goes, no, we don't believe in the ability of black people to behave. See what I mean? Good for him, man. His parents, look, their parents raised them for failure when it comes to racism. They did not, like, that dude grew up with the idea that I am white as snow. Same as Jesus. Here we go. I'm trying to make it rhyme. Okay, goes, okay, I like this one. It goes, if you lose some words, white people don't believe in it. Racism is a political tool. God bless your soul, white person. And this guy, yo, trust me, man. Black people would make more progress with the white people who are like, oh yeah, no, fuck that shit. Racism for life. Fuck them niggas. Kill them all. We would make more progress with them than with this guy talking about racism, a political tool. Because he's trying to get us to look at racism through his narrow mind, narrow window of an eye. The funny thing is, if any of you were serious, you would have Googled what I just said. Hey, look, I'm not in the business of hurting white people's feelings. Trust me, honestly, I am not. I was very mindful of what I wrote. There was a time where I'm like, because when I saw the negative response, I'm like, oh shit, am I out of touch? I'm like, wait a minute. You can Google this shit. Google the history of racism. Google the history of whiteness. Google the reason why I'm black and you're white. We didn't come... White people think we came up with this notion, oh, we want to be black. We created racism. And okay. What else has got? I'm not going to read all this shit because next one goes, these are my favorite ones. It goes, kind of racist to say only white people can be racist. Ever been to rural China? No, I've never been to rural China. But I did hear, was it Japan? I did hear Japan had their form of racism towards other Asians, or is it pro, whatever. They try to okay, holy shit, this white supremacy shit is dope. Let's use it for us. But no, I've never been to rural China. What else is there? I'm not going to read. There's a back and forth going on. Okay, this is my favorite one. Another one. because certain people can't let go of the past, bless your soul, white boy, and constantly blame other races for their own failures. What did I say again? Because white people can't believe in their illibit. Yeah, your feelings were hurt, bro. What's the last one was, wow, what a racist statement. Okay, and if you click on the profile, yeah, story check. The picture. Like one of the guys, the one who says, though, we don't believe in the ability of black people to behave. He looks like, you know, that image they used to. Oh, what an asshole. Sorry, this. Okay, this is not funny. Okay, this is not funny. And I want to be clear that I use humor to cope with the fucked upness in this world. That's why I just laugh. It's okay. It's not funny. But I clicked on this dude's profile, you know, the racist guy goes, because we don't believe black people can behave. And the first thing he tweeted a day ago, it's a picture of, you know, it's that picture of after the election, Kamala and is sitting with Hillary Clinton. And I'm just gonna, he goes, yeah, America has spoken, back to the kitchen, fucking progress. All right, this dude must be. Okay, yeah. Okay. At this point, I'm starting to think he's a troll. How are you not on Twitter? Oh, man. I bet he believes he's a good Christian. All right, okay. Anyways, yeah, I share this because it reminds me of someone in Reddit had a post about and posted something in, let's see, one of the moderators for the black comedy. Let me make sure what's the name of that subreddit. It's called Black People Comedy, and he came out, wrote an amazing article that made me feel good. He says, y'all know this sub is for black people, right? And it kind of reminds me, the same way black people want their space is the same way this podcast is my space. I say what I want to say. I remember the first time I had this idea, my first thought is worrying about the people weren't going to like it. So yeah, man, I'm like, look, if you're going to exist in this world, take up space. Black people, you go live in this world, take up space. Don't let the assholes out there in the world make shit miserable for you, make shit miserable for them by existing, being happy. They don't deserve to be happy. Actually, those people can't be happy, hence them being miserable. But anyway, whatever. So, back to the question, why do you believe ending racism is a debate? All right. Okay, last but not least, before I get to the last thought, is I just realized, and this is my way of committing myself to doing this, is that I just realized that everything that I said on the last episode, in the last thought section, so on the last thought section, will be summarized in an email to the 3GO podcast. And the subject line is going to be, this is therapeutic for me. And the core of the message will be, I'm not saying this is why I haven't done comedy yet or haven't gotten back into comedy yet, but I am saying it didn't help. And essentially, I'm going to talk about that moment when I was in their chat section and they were covering the Andrew Schultz story, and I snapped and I just logged off. And like I said, because you know, I unpacked that on the last episode, and essentially I just realized the reason I was so upset, the reason I was so angry, the reason I was like in the red zone, seeing red, is because it just reminded me of some of the white comics I had to deal with when I was in the comedy, when I was in the comedy world. And it's, dealing with them is one thing, but it's the fact that these guys were like gatekeepers. They were like the people whose asses you had to kick. They were the people who you had to pretend to like if you wanted to get ahead in your career in comedy. I fucking hated that. Like the Andrew Schultz of the world. And I'm not, I don't want to be clear. When I say the Andrew Schultz of the world, I'm talking about the white comics who get close to black people, close enough to black people to say stupid shit, to say the kind of shit that other white people will enjoy, and at the same time troll black people. And like the whole appeal to their joke, to their audience, it's not just the fact to them they find it funny, but it's also the fact that, oh, it's pissing off black people. Oh, my God. Oh, that's what makes it enjoyable. It's like some comedians, the worst kind of comedians for me is the kinds that, it's not enough. No, I don't want this joke to be funny. I want it to be offensive. I want people to bitch about it. I want people to, you know what? No, okay, let me be clear. Because sometimes I make jokes that I hope people get pissed off at it. The difference is who those people are. The people I'm hoping to upset have like power, have a sense of power, have a privilege over me. The people they want to upset are the people who are like, fuck. Now you're gonna go after the shred of dignity I have left? The world has taken everything from me. Now my dignity is who you have to go after. My pain, the shit that's what you find funny. You know what? That's pretty much what's the difference, because I understand what it means to be a provocative type of comedian, thought provoking. I'm all for that. The difference is, who are you pissing off? Who are you trying to piss off? And I'm with the comics who are like, I still remember, and shout out to all the women comedians. I still remember that. My early days in comedy when I was less enlightened. And I remember there's several memorable jokes, but I'm gonna pick this one here. I remember this one woman, she made a joke about how, shit, what was the punch? But it's essentially, the punchline came down to, how she tells other men, okay, look, I want to be clear. It was funny the way she said it, but how she tells men she has a boyfriend because it's the only time a man will respect a woman. And women loved it. And I remember my fragile ego was, what the fuck? Not all men. What the fuck? I didn't confront her, but I remember it like burned inside. I was angry. I was, how fucking dare her? And then, but it burned enough to be like, okay, it took a while. I didn't get it instantly, but it burned enough to be like, oh, we ain't shit. Oh my gosh, she's right. There's a point to what she's saying. Anyways, all right, okay. Let's take a quick break, and then so we can talk about, so we can have this, not book group, book club. It's a book club, all right? So we can talk about Asada Shakur's autobiography. All right. All right, bon, les amis, on est de retour. All right, okay, let me go. Let me start this. Damn, why is it warm here? Because it's raining out there, and all that rain is going to turn into ice, and I got to drive to work tomorrow. Ain't that a bitch? Okay, all right. Asada Shakur's autobiography. That's what today's topic is all about. And, okay, before I get to this, I was actually undecided. Fun fact, I was actually undecided on the title of today's episode because I had several options. It was going to be an episode for Asada. Oh, shit, no, I'm liking it. Fuck, maybe I should read this. An episode for Asada. Often I wonder if that would be me. Read the sister's story. And, those three titles were inspired by, to my surprise, I was not aware, shame on me, I thought I was a true hip-hop head, but it turns out I haven't really listened to the whole album by Common, or maybe I did, I just never paid attention to this one, the whole album by Common, like water is to chocolate. Because on that album, there's a song titled A Song for Asada. Funny story, because I Googled, I said, hey, rap songs about Asada Shakur. And I was expecting just Tupac. And only find out that Common has a song. And in the song, it's pretty much him summarizing the book. It's like a book report, which is why I got the idea of calling this a book club. And in this book club, it's me, Common, and you. Except I'm the one with the feet, but I'm the one doing all the talking. I'm like the white guy in the club. Actually, she was racist. Okay. But yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, I discovered the song. I played it, and I'm like, wow. There's a chance. It's funny how, because I had to go for a lot of growth to finally appreciate someone like Asada Shakur. But anyway, yeah, there's a chance I may have heard the song, but ignored it. That's my point. But at the age that I am now, granted, after reading the book, now I'm like, oh, wow, you just said Asada? Anyways, the reason why I went with the title Supporter of Chesimar is because, again, before the episode, I Googled, what other song? What songs references? First, I checked for songs about. Then I went songs that referenced Asada Shakur, her name. And the first one on the list was Public Enemy. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. I just finished reading an article. Sorry, I just read the post titled Hip Hop's Infatuation with Asada Shakur. It's complicated. And I'm really glad that I did. And because it talked about how the first reference in hip hop about Asada Shakur was by Chuck D in the song Rebel Without a Pause. And he said, supporter of Chesimar. Look. I've heard that line several. Okay, let me rewind. It's as recorded and ordered, supporter of Chesimar. That's the actual line. I've heard that line several times. Now I'm gonna blame the fact that English is my second language, but I dismissed that. Well, okay. Granted, I'm also gonna blame the fact that I was not aware at the time that Chesimar's slave name was. Oh my God, Asada Shakur's slave name was Chesimar. Joanne Chesimar. Okay, wait, actually, do I have a link to... I hope I do. Come on, man. I hope you're organized. No, I'm not. I'm not that organized. Oh, shame on you. Word. Okay. Oh, okay, there it is. I forgot to put the link in my notes. Okay, her name is... The autobiography begins May 2nd. Okay, so vrai nom calice. Son vrai, pardon. Her slave name was, oh, wow, okay. Asada Shakur's full name is Asada Olugbala Shakur. Slave name is Joanne Deborah Byron. Oh, also known as Joanne Chesimar. Wow. Anyways, yeah, so I'm not going to give you a book summary. I'm just going to say, if you haven't read it, if you're on that pro-black tip, fuck that, but add that to your list of books you need to read. And if you don't, you hate women. But I am going to say, one point I'm going to bring up is actually 3 points. Four points. First one is, I fell in love with this woman when, I want to be clear, when I say love, not in a romantic way, but I'm saying like admiration. I'm like dick riding. I don't know, whatever. But I knew... she was significant when I got to the chapter of the book where she was talking about her time in the Black Panthers, and then there's a part where she just Huey P. Newton, yeah, I knew that dude, and there's a part where she just criticizes him, not like it's founded, just to explain it, but I remember she was criticizing the way his public speaking and how not early day Huey P. Newton. Later, towards the end, and I knew she was somewhat special by the fact that instead of getting defensive and how dare you speak about the prophet Huey P. Newton, I was like, tell me more. I was like receptive. It's a big deal. Now, I want you to understand, I have this, I used to have this image of how I went from Spider-Man, Transformers, to Huey P. Newton. It was the equivalent of, it's like saying, what's that Bible saying? It goes, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I talked like a child, whatever, blah, 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 like a child. But when I became a man, I put that bullshit thing away. I'm paraphrasing. And it's my way of saying that when I was a child, I played with toys. My heroes were Spider-Man, Transform, whatever, Optimus Prime, Jazz. But when I became a man, Huey P. Newton. I was a huge fan of Huey P. When I discovered his story, huge fan of the dude. I remember reading his book. You ain't shit you can tell me about him. And yeah, I still have his birthday memorized in my head. February 17th. Forget the year. I need to reread the book now that I think about it. But anyway, all this to say, huge fan of the guy. So it's a big deal that when Hasada Shakur criticized him, it was the equivalent of, oh shit. You know that scene in Endgame? Yeah, I'm making that transition. When Captain America, the white boy, grabs the hammer. I felt like it was that moment. Because the fact that I was receptive to her criticism, she wasn't bad-mouthing him. She was just legitimate. Actually, the reason why she left the Black Panther is because, yo, these motherfuckers don't handle criticism very well. And so, but yeah, I'm saying, the fact I was receptive to her criticism of Huey P. Newton was equivalent to her holding Thor's hammer. She's the chosen one. Second, the godmother of Tupac. Full disclosure, I thought Asada Shakur was Pac's mother. I was so confused on the fact that there was Asada Shakur and there was a Feeny Shakur. They just chose to keep the same last name. When they picked their names, they both chose Shakur. Now, Asada and Afeni were friends. They were big friends. Like Afeni gets mentioned in the book. I remember at least two references of Afeni Shakur. I paid attention. And yeah, one of them is, Jail fucked up. I forget what the reference was. But it was clear that she knew who Afeni was. And to me, it's a big deal. Because I remember when I first discovered Tupac and the fact that he was a son of an ex-Black Panther member was a big deal to me. The lineage between her and Tupac. And it was also a reminder on how, damn Drake, you fucked up by fucking with the legacy and memories of Tupac Shakur with that AI shit. By doing that AI shit, that's a big fucked up. Yeah, you fucked up. You do not mess with Black people's heroes or anyone close to that. That's white people's job and whatever. And the second point. We're at the point one. All right. Okay. Things I remember from the book, gang, that's what I'm saying, is the part where when she's with the Black Panthers and how, yo, FBI did the Black Panthers dirty. FBI or CIA, one of them, but they did them dirty in a sense that they were a well-organized group. They had their shit going, and what they did, FBI infiltrated. And they were like gossipers. They were like, you know, like that friends that ruins it for everyone. Basically, they sabotaged from the inside. There's a part of the story where she said how, she mentioned how Huey P. Newton chose to expel the Chicago 7? Let me make sure I get the name right. The Panther 7? Did I get that right? No, not so. Was it Panther 27? Oh my God! Basically, he. Oh, that's not it. Panther. Fuck! What was their name again? Anyway, but the point is, Huey P. Newton was making decisions that made everyone go, "What the fuck is this problem?" Only to realize. What influences decision is him reading some letter. Someone put in his ears that these guys were trying to kill him. So he was reacting on that. Like, they would do shit like that. Like, mind Like, they were fucking with their minds. They infiltrated the group so there would be a lot of infighting. It's fucked up, man. It's all these positive organizations we had. They come in and then leave us with the images. Like, okay, if you look at our history through white people's eyes, through the U.S. government's eyes, you're not going to do yourself a, yeah, you're naturally going to believe that, yes, we need white people to put us in check. Of course. That was the whole plan. And yeah, it's, she was saying how she learned about all this after through a, in Canada, we have ATIP, and the United States is called Access to Information or something like that, which I think, which is the same thing, but whatever. Public information. They were able to read how the FBI infiltrated the Black Panthers and fucked with them. But she was talking about how, yeah, she ended up leaving because she was getting stressed out. It was like people were like turning on each other. It's fucked up. Also a reminder of careful. Yeah. Also a reminder to that quote that I just shared at the beginning. Excuse me. A wise man once said, be careful who you let in your ship, because some people will sink the ship, the whole ship, just because they can't be the captain. See, the problem with that quote is a guy like me will just be, so what you're saying is don't trust anyone. Anyway, sorry, the problem with a quote like that for someone like me is I interpret it as, so don't trust anyone. I'll keep myself safe. All right, what other point did I have? Is okay, I have a link to... a link for your own, yeah, okay, before I make my last point, yeah, I have links are in the show notes about who is Assata Shakur, and get those details, and, oh, by the way, yeah, if you hope to read the book to find out how she escaped jail, she doesn't go into that. Yeah, there's no her bragging about, well, we played those police, I'm assuming the reason is, yeah, the people who helped me escape are still alive, so unlike a McDonald's employee, I don't believe in snitch. I ain't gonna snitch. But yeah, so the book does not end with her saying, this is how I broke out of jail. The last chapter is just her saying how she's in Cuba and then she tries to connect with her people. And look, man, it's a great book, man. What I was going to do is, because I actually, so I did the audiobook, but I actually have the full book in front of me. Oh, what's this? Yeah, and I was going to go in a random page and see what it, and trigger some memory, but I'm looking at the time. Yeah, we're short on time here. So instead, I'm just going to say, check out the book. The last point I'm going to make is, it's very hard to take the United States seriously, or the legal system seriously. This is why I made a comment about, I know some of you folks believe in the justice system, in legality, and maybe you are the people who keep this world from going into chaos. Maybe you are, whatever. We need people like you to have faith. But I am going to say, if I am skeptical of the system, because I'm reflecting on the fact that Assata Shakur is in Cuba, in exile in Cuba as a political... political asylum? Yeah, in Cuba. Because she was accused. Yo, they threw, oh my God, they came after with all kinds of shit. Yo, she murdered this, she did that, she blah, blah, blah. And like, it was all a bunch of bullshit. They threw a whole bunch of things. But anyway, she's in exile. She's on the FBI most wanted list. Most wanted, well, female list. And, I can't help but reflect on the fact that the United States still want her. She's accused of murdering. She's a fugitive. She's being accused of murdering a cop. Still on that list. She's at, 75 now. And Donald Trump is president of the United States. An actual criminal. What I'm saying is, because I remember reading the book and telling myself, dude, aren't you being a little naive? You don't know Assata Shakur for personally. Maybe she did kill those cops. Maybe she did do. And it comes down to, if you're a fan of her, you're just choosing to believe her. I've just realized that this might be a slight contradiction, because I just said with Jay-Z, you know what? I'm going to justify it. But with Jay-Z, how I don't know the facts. I don't know what's going on. All I can do is hope he didn't do it. But when it comes to Asada Shakur, I'm choosing to believe her word. One, because she's not the first person who's been falsely accused, who the FBI have targeted and pinned all kinds of fake crimes on. Two, yeah, Coaltown Pro. Three, these guys are still mad that, oh, she escaped. Yeah, we're never going to forgive her for that. They're still pissed at Haiti for getting liberation. So I know how the powers that be can hold a grudge. So a woman like her, a person like her, has earned the right to, I trust you over it. And you know what? I'm going to go as far as saying she did do it. She had a reason to do it. Sorry, let me be clear. She claims innocence. I'm choosing to believe her innocence. When I was going through this book, I was not reading it as someone who was like, might be lying to me. I was reading it as, yo, this is my story. My only crime was giving a fuck, was fighting for black people's liberation. But with that said, she's in exile. In Cuba, Trump is president of the United States. I want you to balance that shit. And it's the reason why I can't take the United States seriously. The United States government, their laws, can't take it seriously. Yeah. And I understand. Sorry. I'm just remembering what I said about Luigi Mangione. But on that note, this concludes today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it. As always, website address is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they were protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be that way, Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I am your king now!